And we're back. You're listening to Money Talks. I'm Matt Hames here. Sweet Harmon, Casey Smith, Sweet Home Alabama. Absolutely. You can't go Saturday morning without here.
That's right.
A little bit of winter skinner, right?
So. Sure.
Well, listen, let me just get our numbers out there one more time again. So as we mentioned at the opening of the show, if you've got questions you want us to answer, be sure to get those to us during the week. We record the show during the week, and we'd be glad to answer any questions you've got about your money. You can call us at 770-429-9166, or you can email us at drgene@hensler.com, and we will be glad to mention you on the air and answer your question as best we can. All right, well, let's jump into this case study here, KC. We've got a situation. We cover them every week. Things that we see, are common topics that come up with our clients and subjects that are relevant. And this week, what we want to talk about is this discussion around saving for, paying for college.
Right.
Big discussion. Jump right in here.
I get questions all the time. I mean, it's real easy to advise people on what type of vehicles to use as far as saving for college. I mean, 529 plan being pretty much the standard bearer as far as that's concerned. Mm-hmm. There's Coverdell education savings accounts and even savings bonds in some cases. And so there's quite a few vehicles available to save for college, and it's pretty easy to say, save as much as you can and try to pay for college. The harder part comes when it's time to pay for college. How do you get the money out, and how do you coordinate that with some of these tax advantages that are available? Because at the bottom line is you're not going to be able to get more than one tax benefit for the same dollar of expense.
Casey, before you get too deep into that, is there one state that's better than the other, or do you usually tell them to use the 529 in their own state?
It depends. Most states offer some type of tax advantage within the state for the 529 plan.
Okay.
So Georgia is a good example. You can get $2,000 tax deduction on your state income tax. It's not a huge deal, but, every little bit helps.
Yeah, sure.
And Georgia's got a really good plan. This TIAA CREF is low expense. It's pretty decent plan. So if you live in Georgia, I would recommend
it. And to be clear, Troy, on your question, this is what I was going to reiterate there, KC, is that Georgia does have a good plan. But the reality is you could open a 529 plan in any state, if you're a Georgia resident. So if I wanted to, I could open a Nevada 529 plan. But
it doesn't matter where you go to school either. It's not you can use it for education in any institution. It's just it really is dependent on what is the plan, who's the plan sponsor, how much are the expenses, what type of investments are available, how have those investments performed. And so there's a number of factors that you look at. But for the most part, if you're in Georgia, it makes sense to do Georgia because they do have a good plan.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry to sidetrack.
No, that's all right. That's a good question. But essentially, when you come to get money out of the plan, and the 529 plan, this goes for really any type of college expense. The 529 plan and Coverdell ESA, they cover qualified higher education expenses. So that's things like tuition, room and board in most cases, books, supplies, even computers in a lot of cases and tablets and things that they're going to be used for school. But you got to be careful when you go to pay those expenses because you could be leaving some money on the table from Uncle Sam. One of the most widely overlooked credits is available is the American Opportunity Tax Credit. I'm sure if you have a tax preparer, they're making you aware of this when you go to cut that check out of the 529 plan. But essentially, kind of a general rule of thumb, you get the first $4,000, assuming you meet the modified adjusted gross income limits, which is about $160,000 to $180,000 for married filing joint. The first $4,000 of college expenses you get a credit for. You get 100% of the first $2,000 and 25% of the next $2,000.
And that's a tax credit.
That's a tax credit, so that's dollar for dollar. Exactly. That's not a deduction, so every dollar that you pay, you're going to get – if you pay $4,000, you're going to get $2,500 of that back as a credit on your tax return. So that's a pretty big savings there. If you take the money out of your 529 plan, if you take 100% of your expenses out, then you may actually have to pay taxes on the earnings of that portion that you paid from the 529 plan. So if you're trying to take the credit and the deduction or the benefit from having that tax-deferred money or tax-free money in the 529 plan, they may actually come back and say, hey, you owe taxes on the difference because you took the credit. Yeah. So that's an important one. I mean, lifetime learning credit is another one. The American Opportunity Tax Credit is just for your first 4 years of post-secondary education.
And there's a limit, too, on that American Opportunity Tax Credit, right, based on how much money you make. So if you're married filing jointly.
Right. It's 160. It's a phase out between 160 and 180,000 modified adjusted gross income.
If you're single, it's...
It's, I think,
80 to 90,000.
80 to 90, yep.
Yep, to be able to qualify for it. Okay.
Right, right. The lifetime learning credit is another one available. That one's worth about $2,000 maximum. And it's a similar calculation. That one's on the first $10,000 of qualified education expenses. And you basically get 20% of the first $10,000. And that one is actually available to undergraduates, graduates. There's really no limit to when you use that credit. Now, you can't use... You can use really any of these sort of at the same time as long as you're not using it for the same dollar. So, in other words, if school tuition, the whole nine yards costs 20 grand, you can take the first 4,000 and get your American Opportunity Tax Credit, and then you would probably want to, if you have 529 plan funds or some other mm-hmm. tax-free funds, pay the rest of it out of there. But, you know, there's some coordination things that you need to think about to make sure you're not leaving some money on the table there.
Coordination is a big word, right?
It is. It is. You want to make sure that you're getting somebody to help you if you don't have a good grasp on what you're doing, because you could be leaving some tax credits or tax deductions on the table if you pay for college out of a, you know, tax advantaged account like a 529 plan. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of left off with the American Opportunity Tax Credit, the Lifetime Learning Tax Credit. In addition to that, you know, you do get deductions for student loan interest. You can deduct up to $2,500 mm-hmm. That you pay on qualified student loans. And there's eligibility requirements, there's income limits to a lot of these things. You know, I would recommend you talk to a tax
sure.
advisor or financial planner to kind of help you with these things. Tuition and fees. Now, there was a deduction that expired actually in December of 2014. But it's one of those deductions that Congress kind of will extend at the 11th hour and then make it retroactive. So there's a good chance that you can still deduct some tuition and fees, but you probably can't do that if you're doing one of these other credits like the American Opportunity Tax Credit. So, again, just talk to an advisor, a tax consultant.
Sure.
One of the interesting things that I think is that for that American Opportunity Tax Credit, you actually – can pay for that first $4,000 of school from loan proceeds. So that's sort of an interesting concept. You take out a loan, you pay for the first $4,000 of school with the loan, and then the rest of the money can come from one of these tax advantaged plans. Hmm. So that might be a good strategy to use.
Well, I mentioned before we took the break, too, I mean, you know, and it comes up from time to time, and I don't want to beat this to death, but on a 529 plan, because I know I've been asked before, and I'm sure you see it probably more than I do, Casey, is that multiple kids, but for whatever reason, there's only one 529 plan. There's some flexibility there to be able to change beneficiaries.
Absolutely. You can roll over a portion or all of a 529 plan to a different beneficiary. So if you've got one plan and you've got two kids, you can split the difference, if you will, or if you've got one kid that doesn't go to college or doesn't have yeah. qualified higher education expenses, you can transfer that account to the other beneficiary.
If the first child that comes through winds up getting a scholarship and doesn't need the money,
right.
or to your point, doesn't go to school, that doesn't mean the funds can't be used for another child.
Absolutely, yeah, or even yourself. I mean, you can really make anybody the beneficiary that you want to. If you wanted to go back to school for a graduate degree or for some kind of other special education that you were trying to get, then you can make yourself the beneficiary and use the funds.
So last question about 529 plan. So what happens if you're just not going to use it for college?
If you're absolutely not going to use it for college at all, and you just want to get the money out of the account, that's fine. You can do that. You're going to get your contribution back with no taxes or penalty, but you are going to have to pay tax and a 10% penalty on the earnings.
So it's like an early distribution.
It's like an early distribution, exactly. And you know, if you're absolutely not going to use it, that's really the only option you've got. So you pay the tax man and move on.
Gotcha. You're listening to Money Talks. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.